Want to have your own business but don't want to start from scratch? Franchising might be the answer you're looking for. Welcome to the Level Up with Nick Lopez Show, the show that brings you thought leaders in business, franchising, and high-performance personal development. Whether you're a buyer, seller, franchisee, franchisor, or consultant, find everything you need to know about franchising right here. Own a business without the pain and financial losses that come with creating it. Find the time, freedom, and financial independence you can have through entrepreneurship. Learn how franchising can help you get there. Listen up and get ready for another episode of The Level Up with Nick Lopez Show.
Welcome to The Level Up Show with Nick Lopez, where we get the opportunity to speak to thought leaders in business, franchising, and high performance personal development. Today's guest most certainly goes without exception. He is the VP of Franchise Development for the United Water Restoration Group, which is an exciting, fast-growing franchise company. Bob Moore, welcome to the Level Up Show.
Thank you, Nick. Appreciate the opportunity to be with you today.
Absolutely. Well, I know our audience is most certainly going to level up after today's call. I've been looking forward to getting the opportunity to learn more about your organization and specifically to learn a little bit more about franchise development, as it's an exciting part of franchising.
Yeah.
But before we get into all of that, Bob, I would love to learn a little bit more about your organization, where you started and where you're going.
Sure. I'll give you a little bit of background about myself and then a quick recap of the company. So I've been in franchising for about 30 years. I started out with Domino's Pizza. First 6 years, I was in corporate roles, also working for various franchise owners. The last 7 years I was with them, I was a multi-unit franchise owner. So I own multiple Domino's stores. So I've been on both sides of the franchise business model. Went on to work for ServiceMaster, where I was a regional director out on the West Coast. And my team and I supported about 134 franchisees across 5 states, the bulk of them in the restoration space. So this is kind of my second time in this industry. I then went on to work for Dunkin' Brands for a little over 10 years. There, I oversaw about a third of the country for all things people and training related. So my team and I would help new franchisees get their new store open and things like that, as well as just regular operations, leadership training, and any other training the brand required to kind of get out to all the restaurants and things like that. I've been with the United Water Restoration Group for about 4 years. When I started, we had 5 franchisees. We currently have 27 and a handful of others in the pipeline. So it's very exciting. And it's been a great ride in franchising. I can't complain. I love working with entrepreneurs and people who go out there and trying to make a go of themselves. So, and then a little bit about United Water Restoration Group. We were founded in 2008. Some gentlemen in the middle of a recession basically formed a restoration company. They started with one van, filled it with equipment, and went out and started knocking on doors. And they very quickly built that to 15 locations across Florida. And then they began franchising in 2015 and have just kind of continued to grow. We still have corporate locations. That's one of the things I do love about us as a company. We're not just selling franchises. Our owners are still in the business and they're busy working and running the 11 corporate locations that we still have currently on our books.
Yeah, that most certainly creates a different type of leadership when you're hands-on in the business, running some corporate territories, to a large extent makes you a little bit more of a player's coach.
Oh, absolutely. It's interesting because I run the franchise company for our owners. So the same 3 owners own United Water Restoration Group, all the corporate locations. And then they form the franchise company. And I often treat our corporate company as just another franchise. Some of the same things that I coach and advise our franchisees on in terms of building and growing their business, it can be really advantageous to have someone who's outside your business kind of looking in because they're not so caught up in the day-to-day details. And I often find myself, I have a meeting later today with one of the owners and we're going to talk about some ideas he wanted to run by me. So it's a great job. I love it. I come to work every day and a lot of exciting things I get to work on, and growing the company is always fun and exciting.
So you guys are currently at 27 franchise owners.
Correct.
What is your goal for the next year in terms of growth?
I'd like to add another dozen this year. We're not just going to add bodies and things like that. We really want to make sure it's a good fit and they'll be successful in owning a restoration company, but definitely want to get to much larger numbers over the next 5 years. But I think if we can add another dozen this year, that'll be a good year for us.
Yeah, dozen owners. And what I loved about what you just said was that we don't want to just add bodies, right? We want to make sure they're a good fit and they're going to be successful. So what does that look like for you guys?
That's a great question. So I think one, not being afraid of hard work, whether it's restoration, I own pizza stores, I have friends who own all different kinds of businesses, regardless of the type of business it is. When you go out there on your own, there's going to be some hard work. You can work smart all you want, but there's still going to be some, at the end of the day, some hard work left that you got to do. So people who aren't afraid of hard work always is something we're looking for. The other thing we talk a lot about is how resourceful are they? Like in problem solving, creative thinking and things like that, because you just sometimes have to be creative of solving your problems and finding your way through things. And then lastly, what I'd say is we talk a lot about, have they managed people before? What does that look like? Because one of the things we talk a lot with our franchisees about is culture. I challenge them in training. Why should someone come to work for you beyond a paycheck, right? Because you're going to have to pay them. That's a given. But beyond that, what are you offering them? And we really challenge our franchise owners to think and find answers to that question. Because I think as any business out there will tell you, or anybody running a business, finding good talent's hard. You want to find them, keep them. And that takes work. It doesn't happen by accident. So we get right in the initial franchise training, challenge our owners to answer that question. Why should someone come to work for you? What are you going to offer them besides a paycheck?
And so you're looking for an owner that has that team building experience. It's one thing to be able to execute on the model and the behavior that's required, let's say an owner operator or a hands-on manager, but it's a totally different skill set to be able to teach somebody to do that and to do it effectively when you're not around, while also maintaining the culture and the values and the customer proposition. Sure, somebody may be on payroll, you may be paying them to show up, but are they really doing the aspects of the business that deliver the brand?
Right.
And that, for a first-time business owner, is challenging. And it's a learning curve and even a challenge for an experienced business owner within a new industry. And so if you're a new business owner or you don't have that managerial experience, that's a couple additional learning curves that you're navigating through. Sure, it's possible, but I guess to your point, that's something that's important. You're evaluating their ability to just that, build the team.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that you talked about some of the benefits of the franchise business model. That's one of the things I love about that, is because you're in business for yourself, but not by yourself, right? You have resources available to you as a franchisee, whether that be my team in corporate support, myself. You also have fellow franchise owners that are in the exact same business you're in that you can pick up the phone and call them and talk to them and tell them, hey, this is a challenge I'm facing right now. Have you faced it before? How'd you get around it or over through it and pick their brain about it? You may or may not choose to handle it the exact same way, but it gives you ideas and options. And oftentimes it speeds up that learning curve and you can get through things quicker because someone else has already made those mistakes or faced those challenges and found a way to navigate that.
And something else you mentioned was hard work, right? That seems so obvious, but in many cases is not the reality of somebody considering a franchise. It could be misunderstood that a franchise is a way to diversify.
Right.
And it's like a stock where you put your money in and it compounds your return.
Right.
But the reality is that the business needs to be worked, right? You need to get the business in a position where it can deliver value in the market. And that doesn't just happen because you buy a franchise. As the business owner, the franchise owner, you're the one putting the business, you're the one setting the business up and ultimately getting out there and delivering that value in the marketplace. Thus, hard work.
Yeah, absolutely. Even I tell our owners, because we've had some owners who've come on board who said, Bob, I honestly, I don't want to go out and do the physical work. I don't mind doing the hard work of building a company, right? But I don't want to be the one that goes out when the basement's flooded at 2 a.m. I'm going to hire people to do that, right? And I said, that's absolutely okay, that you can absolutely do that. You don't necessarily have to be the one that goes out and does the physical work, but you better be pretty good about recruiting good people, motivating and taking care of them. Otherwise, you're going to lose people and you're going to get stuck having to go out and do that work, right? I'll give you a good example. We had that deep freeze that hit right around the holidays and end of December this year that reached way down into the South. And we had a couple franchisees that literally from Christmas Day to almost mid-February, their teams were working 7 days a week because there were so many busted pipes that were frozen and things like that. So hard work, there's no way around it. Even if it's not the hard physical work, it's hard to go out and build a company. It's hard to keep your teams motivated and attract and retain good people. But it's absolutely a cornerstone to success in whatever business you choose, I think.
So what are some aspects that make your company different than some other options in the market?
It's a great question. One, I think, you know, we're still in the restoration business is a huge benefit, right? So we're not just selling franchises. Industries can change so quickly and there's little nuances about every industry. And having a restoration companies and having our owners out there in the business, the same business as our franchisees, can be incredibly helpful. We get to test things before we ever bring it to our franchisees to consider, whether it be different job software or ways of doing things. And we can test that in our corporate locations before we roll it out to franchise. The other thing is we learn things. We make mistakes. That's all part of learning. And I'll give you an example. We used to occasionally have customer drop a check by, or we'd have to send an employee out to pick up a check after a job was completed. That's not the best use of labor, sending someone out like that. So we were always trying to get better. And we basically came across an app that we can send that customer a text and they open up the text and it opens up an app for them that basically they can scan the check and they can disperse funds from that app. So if they had three different contractors on one claim, they could pay all three out of that app, and us being one of them. So it was a good example of us being in the restoration business still. We learned that and it quickly moved and went on to franchisees, a great tool to use. Lots of other things. When we went through the beginning of, we're just hopefully coming out of all the COVID issues and things like that. But when that started, we saw the impact corporately down here in Florida at our Florida locations before any franchisee were really experiencing anything. And so we pretty quickly created some marketing materials. And literally within 5 days, we had marketing materials in hand and our franchisees began doing COVID cleaning and some things like that. We did it corporately to replace, we kind of had a slowdown for a week or two when people didn't want you in their homes. And we kind of filled that gap with COVID cleaning. It was a need. And then luckily, we bounced right back and people got over it. We went back to business like normal, but we had a lot of corporate locations and some franchisees that had great years because they did their normal restoration business, but then supplemented it with quite a bit of COVID cleaning as well. So being small and nimble, I mean, like I said, I think we beat most of our competitors to the marketplace there because literally from the time we made the decision to go, it was 5 days they were out marketing and drumming up business. So it was good.
Talk about being agile and innovative, right? And that right there is the core of the benefit of being in business with other business owners, specifically in the franchise model, right? Where you have home office, with the ability to pivot operationally from a marketing standpoint, and within a week's time frame, have an opportunity that is pretty turnkey for the franchise owners to go out and execute against and continue to build their business, even though the marketplace is, there's a lot of uncertainty and what could seem like lack of opportunity. Wow, I love hearing that. That is, to my point, just the core of what makes franchising great. And so I want to shift gears a little bit and pick your brain about how you acquire clients. Is it all based on storms, or is there some direct-to-consumer marketing? How do you go about your marketing mix and acquiring customers?
Right. That's a great question. It's interesting because a lot of people don't even know there's a restoration industry, right? Like, so what we do, if you haven't experienced a busted pipe or a flooded basement yourself personally, people don't realize it's a $2 billion plus industry out there to deal with this. And so especially our corporate locations, the bulk of them are in Florida. And we every year, unfortunately, we get hurricanes. We had Ian come through last year and that generated a tremendous amount of work. But it goes beyond those types of weather events. The interesting thing is I can't predict who and where it's going to happen. There's a lot of statistics out there about there's going to be X number of broken pipes through accidents, just overflowed bathtub. That's the beauty of our industry is that regardless of who's in the White House and the state of the economy, it goes up, it goes down. You have different policies. There's going to be accidents. There's going to be storms. There's going to be flooding. There's going to unfortunately be fires and things like that. So it creates creates a pretty steady stream of work. It's not one we can control and predict, but at the same time, it does seem to, as you grow, if you've been consistent in your marketing efforts, you can get to a point where you're pretty steady and it can be relatively predictable. So to answer your question specifically, we don't do any marketing to homeowners directly because I can't predict which ones will need our services. So what we do is we market to those people who will get the call when they need our services, whether it be plumbers, HVAC companies, and anybody who's in homes regularly, any home services company, it has the potential to refer work back to us. So we work really hard to establish good working relationships where it's not transactional. It's really about developing a relationship. And one of the things we talk to our franchisees about a lot is that, listen, when we get a referral from a company, whatever type of company it is, it's almost like they're lending us their customer for a short period of time. So we really want to take great care of them because whatever we do reflects on that company that referred us in there. And I think that's one of the things our franchisees do really, really well and our corporate locations. And honestly, I think is one of our competitive advantages.
Most certainly. So a lot of industry contacts, networking with those referrals. I would assume that that is just that, networking groups, getting together with other contractors that are in clients' homes and building those relationships where those referrals start to come in and build the business.
Yeah, absolutely. Those are long-term relationships. That's what we tell them. If you do it right and do it well, I mean, you're not looking at it as just what's in it for me. You're genuinely trying to make it a situation where everybody benefits. You can have some really great long-term relationships there.
Mm-hmm. So if I'm interested in joining your franchise and I'm going through the process of exploring your organization, you know, I'm going to go through the discovery process. I'm going to learn about the operations, the unit economics, the marketing, and the business as a whole. I'll meet some of the franchise owners, get an opportunity to talk to them, and probably talk to some of the leadership team. And then I'll come to discovery day and actually be able to physically meet everybody and get a feel for, okay, is this the right culture for me, right?
Absolutely.
Can you talk about that process a little bit? What are some components of it that you would highlight or tease out that worth mentioning?
Sure. So, I mean, whether you're looking at us or anybody else, I think you hit on some really great points, right? Meeting the people from the franchise company, because franchising is kind of this weird business marriage, right? We're partners, but we're not partners. They're independent businesses. They often free to make a number of choices within the scope of their franchise, but making sure you feel good about that team that's there to support you. And what are their qualifications to get there? And if I'm picking up the phone and calling and asking them for advice, what's their background and things like that? So that's where I feel really strongly about my team. They've proven themselves in the restoration industry and within their respective roles prior to ever coming to work for us in the franchise side of United Water. So that's really exciting. So that I think is key. And then you mentioned the other thing is talk to franchisees, right? Because I can paint a very rosy picture of what it's like to be a United Water Restoration Group franchise, but I would validate that information and say, hey, listen, is Bob shooting it straight, right? There's no harm in that. I did it when I looked into becoming a franchisee and things like that. And I think it's another critical step that regardless whether it's us or anybody else that you should do just to evaluate what makes the most sense for me.
Yeah, absolutely, right? The qualifications, those credentials, because it's like a marriage, right? And you're in business for yourself. And so would you mind elaborating a little bit around what can I do as an independent business owner? Because as you mentioned, it's kind of this weird dynamic, right? Where I'm licensing the brand, but yet I own the brand.
Right.
How does that work?
I'll give you a great example. So we're a full service restoration company, right? So we do water remediation, mold remediation, fire smoke. Some of our franchisees do the rebuild, like after you've gone in, you had to demo some stuff and you dry out the structure or you take care of everything. Some of our franchisees do the rebuild. Others just subcontract out. They have partners they've lined up. But I'll give you an example. If I had a franchisee who was in an area that had just tremendous amount of mold, he could become more of a specialist, right? He could build an entire business or really focus a lot more on mold. And if you look at where his revenue comes from, where as a brand, we do a lot of water, both corporately and our franchisees, right? We like that. You're in, you're out for a number of reasons. But anyway, I could have a franchisee tomorrow that says, I'm going to be the mold king. And they made a conscious decision to really focus on going out there and marketing to that, building a team around that, adding more knowledge to themselves and their team about that, and really taking the mold remediation to a totally different level to where they are destroying their competition, right? But they can do that within the kind of the guardrails of our franchise. And as long as they're not misrepresenting the brand or trying to do silly things, it sounds silly, but in all the brands I've worked with, you've had people who try and like say, hey, can I play with the color on that logo? That's like a big no-no, right? Because that's part of that image. So, but there are guardrails there that you have some wiggle room that you can make some decisions on strategically and directionally. What am I going to do? Other decisions like how you compensate your people. We have franchisees that compensate the same exact position a little bit differently. And that's a business choice that you can make and which you think might be better.
So putting the logo on hats and t-shirts and polos, even though it looks great, it may not go over so well from a franchising standpoint because you're licensing the brand.
Yeah. Well, we provide them. If they want to do that, I mean, it's promoting the brand. And you can see here, I'm in my branded clothing and things like that. We give them resources to do that. We've lined up some vendors internally and they can, and we also encourage them to source vendors locally, right? Buy in your own community because you're a business owner there. And it makes sense if there's a qualified vendor to get something there, we make it easy for them to be able to source some of those same products, right? But we do, like every other franchise, we do protect our brand and the image and things like that, and just make sure it's represented well in places where it matters on things like wraps and prints and logos on the wall and things like that.
So I can source locally, but I probably have some predefined apparel and locations for the logos and proper usage of the logo. So it is pretty standard. The franchise is going to offer, hey, look, these are the hats that we use. These are the polos we use, the jackets, you name it, right? The full wardrobe there. But hey, this is our look. These are our predefined, what make us unique and special in the market. And so I wanted to go here because I think that it's important to really tease out the practical reality of being a franchisee and being in business with other business owners. It's important to have a consistent brand across all 27 locations or however many locations you have, because if not, that waters down the brand. And in the marketplace, the more consistent the brand is, the stronger the brand. And that's one of the most powerful components of the franchise model, is it's a growth model. We're going to get our brand out there, but it's going to be out there if it's inconsistent or if it's consistent. And there will be a client experience in the marketplace. And the stronger the brand, the more consistent the brand, from not only the way that the logos are displayed on apparel, but the overall customer experience from A to Z.
Yeah, absolutely.
It'd be pretty interesting if you went to Chick-fil-A in Las Vegas and they were serving lobster. You went to Chick-fil-A in Texas. I'm obviously being a little silly here, pretty dramatic, right? But go to Texas and they're serving chicken and everything else that you expect. And let's say you go to Oklahoma and they have the right menu, but they're wearing different hats and different polos. I think that gives some good context around, we can all scratch our head around that. And so that's why it's so important to be consistent and uniform in the marketplace. So I appreciate you letting me go there and get in the weeds on that, but I want to turn the page and talk a little bit about the future of your organization and what initiatives you guys have on the horizon that are exciting that you'd like to share and dive into.
Sure, that's a great question. So the next big thing for us as a brand right now is we have our second annual franchise conference coming up in May down in New Orleans. So we'll be down there. We've got great signups for it so far. The bulk of our franchisees are coming. Some of them are bringing team members. So we've got a great 3.5 days set up for them for the opportunity to network with one another, great learning going on, bringing in some outside vendors and an industry renowned guest speaker coming in on the last day. So that's one of the big things that we have on the horizon. And then beyond that, we're just, as we always are, we're just looking for ways to get better, both in terms of our systems and how we present them. Because I liken it to what you just said about a brand's expectations and things like that. I think we have to look at what we give our franchisees in terms of tools and make sure that we're meeting a certain standard about them. They're easy to use, they are easy to understand, And so they can pick up those tools and use them the same way in their, within their franchise. So we're always focusing on things like that, as well as if we meet our goal, we'll be busy getting a dozen new franchisees up and running this year, and we want them to be successful. One of the other things about our brand that I love, the only way that we make money is initial franchise fee and royalties. There's no other things that we require our franchisees to purchase through us, that there's a little markup or anything like that. So truly it's set up to where our success is dependent upon our franchisees' success. So if we're going to add a dozen this year, we've already given a lot of thought to what does that look like for us in terms of just running the training classes, opening support, all of those types of things. So it turns out it should be an exciting year for us.
Mm-hmm. And at the conference, I would assume that you're able to get some feedback and allow for networking and collaboration, right? You're getting all the owners together, the leadership team, probably some vendors, some partners in the industry, and really devoting that time to huddling up around what makes the brand great, but probably pulling some feedback and keeping the ears open for opportunities to innovate.
Yeah, absolutely. I was actually just playing with some different polling options. So I came from the training realm when I was with Dunkin' Brand. So there were different tools we used in the moment. You could take live polls in the audience, displays up on the screen. So we've got a few things like that going on and a couple other ways for them to provide us feedback on where we're going. And then one other thing I failed to mention earlier that we're also getting ready to form. We're a small company relative to many other franchise organizations, but with 27, we're at that point, we're getting ready to elect our first franchise leadership council. So there'll be franchisees elected by their peers to serve kind of as an advisory role. We'll bring them in earlier than all the franchisees on some decisions we're looking at, things we're thinking about down the road to get their input, and just gives all the other franchisees also another voice with if there's concerns, questions they had, just someone else that they can speak to about it. And they know that, hey, these guys get together that are regularly with the owners and the franchise leadership. So we absolutely, that all be built in as part of the conference coming up.
So you're officially releasing and announcing, I would assume, the results of who was elected.
Yeah, we're actually just getting ready to hold the election. So they were pretty planful in terms of making sure we do it right. I've been a part of it with every brand I was a part of. When I was a franchisee, I was on some different leadership councils myself. But when you're doing your first one and things like that, sometimes you're kind of setting a precedent. So we were kind of a little more planful and mindful for it. So we're getting ready to hold the first elections here very shortly. But they will be announced and ready to go by our conference in May.
So with your experience with those councils, just for clarification standpoint, are those elected owners really projecting the direction of the brand? Are they acting as some feedback for where the leadership team is wanting to go? Is a little bit of both? How does that work?
So it's a little bit of both. So I think the franchise business model works best when the franchisor and the franchisee are kind of working and going in the same direction, right? Trying to build the brand. The franchisees are trying to build their individual companies. And then the franchisor is trying to make sure that the franchisees are successful in building their own, but they're also charting a path to grow the overall organization. So those councils, ideally, they're coming to the table with ideas. They're pushing us in areas that they might say, hey, we need to go more in this direction, or we need more tools here. They're kind of pushing us in some ways, but we're sharing with them our perspectives on how the brand's performing. They often get to see the company in a very different light because they're so used to seeing their company, and they might see how they perform compared to some other franchisees. But when they get brought in on some of the councils and they see all the numbers and get to see a lot more information, they get to see it kind of from the franchisor's perspective, right? So that's very helpful for any franchise company, because when you start talking about the future and things we're thinking about 18 months, 2-3 years from now, and what the company might look like and things we need to do, it's great to have their insight and feedback, because everybody has blind spots and every person in every company. And having that advisory council there helps you kind of minimize those oftentimes.
Yeah, and really get on the same page, right? Yeah. To your point around seeing it from the franchisor's perspective, where other times it may just be seen as a fee, for example.
Right.
You know, if we were to give an example, let's say you're as a franchise organization, you've never really implemented a marketing spend. And then from the franchisor standpoint, they can see, all right, well, here's a real opportunity to increase leads, which turn into revenue, which turns into more bottom line.
Yeah.
And it's an opportunity for us to grow our franchise owner profitability, grow their businesses, acquire more market share. But if that collaborative process, those mechanisms aren't in place, it may just be seen as a fee, right? Yeah. So, hey, look, here's my fee. It's going up $1,500. And from the franchisor standpoint, the whole time their intent was to benefit the franchise owner. And that could be missed. It could just be as a fee.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's interesting and clearly a smart path to the next step of where you're going in the future and what's on the horizon. So annual conference coming up, leadership council being formed, some pretty exciting developments going on within your organization. Any recent initiatives, key hires, just overall, any latest and greatest that you can think of that you'd like to share?
Nothing comes to mind. And we had a great 2022. We really blew our 2021 numbers out of the water. We are hiring. There's a position that we're actually actively recruiting for now. It's a franchise business coach or a field operations person, because we have a lot of franchisees and we want to continue to support them. And the person I have in that role currently is great. We've promoted her, but she is one person. And one of the things that I promised our franchisees, I said, we get a lot of really positive feedback from our franchisees about my team. And that was one of the biggest things that they talk about and the concerns they had at last year's conference. Said, listen, we're all for growth, but we want the company to feel like it does now, where we love your team. We know they're in our corner. And they're great servant leaders and they're really knowledgeable. So as you build your team, we just want to make sure that you keep that. So we're doing our due diligence and finding the right people for the next couple of key hires to make sure that as we grow, they don't feel like they're just becoming a number as a franchisee. We want them to feel the way they do right now when we're small, like, hey, we're a family. And Bob and his team really have our best interests in mind and they care about us. And we want to keep that. So we'll be hiring a couple of people this year as we grow, kind of hiring ahead of the growth that's coming in.
Yeah, what a great point of view there, right? Look, growth is great, but we want it to remain consistent with how it's been. It's what we love about the organization. Can we keep that? And that's some great chemistry dialogue there with the franchise owners. As a franchisor, you could be running, growing, and totally missing the ball that franchise owners are perceiving that as, oh, we're watering down our support. Things are going to be changing.
Yeah.
And no one likes change. Right? Especially when it's something as important as your business, you want to know that, okay, sure, there's going to be some change, but there's a plan in place for that. Obviously, your organization has done a great job of serving your franchise owners, building that chemistry, having that two-way communication, even before you had the Franchise Leadership Council formed, which, my goodness, you guys are clearly doing business the right way. Last year had year-over-year growth, trending in similar fashion this year, and looking to add 12 new franchise owners to your organization. It's really been a pleasure having you on the show today. If anybody is interested in learning more about your franchise, getting in touch with yourself, how can they do that?
Sure, that's a great question. So easiest way is to just go to uwrgfranchise.com. That's just a great website set up, gives a lot of information about us. You can fill out a little form and that'll get you to the person you want to speak to and get you more information about the brand. And you can find me at LinkedIn, Bob Moore. I'm right in there for United Water Restoration if you have anything directly or specifically for me.
You heard it right from Bob Moore with United Water Restoration Group, this fast-growing but very smart franchise organization. Please subscribe to this channel. It's how we're able to continue to grow and bring you tremendous thought leaders in franchising, much like Bob on the show today. Like the show, and most importantly, contribute to the conversation. Drop a comment down below. Bob Moore, again, it was a pleasure having you on the show.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the Level Up with Nick Lopez Show. Remember, it's never too late to get started on your entrepreneurial journey. Don't forget to subscribe, like, and share if you enjoyed today's segment. Catch us again next week and visit limepainting.com for more of the Level Up with Nick Lopez Show.